Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this evening is the Thomasius Epistle text appointed for this day, which we find recorded in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8, which reads as follows. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, whose abiding blessings we desperately need for a truly happy new year, beloved hearers of his most wonderful and reassuring word. You know what really bothers people as they look forward to another year here in this world? Do you know what makes them so uneasy and anxious? It's their personal insecurity that gnaws at their insides. Insecurity that has nothing really to do with material things in and of themselves, but insecurity that comes from deep within the soul. Oh, they will try to hide it, especially on New Year's Eve with all the parties and celebrating. But then they give themselves away when they wish one another good luck in the new year and express the hope that the new year will be better than the last. To the children of this world, life is just one big crapshoot or roll of the dice. And their insecurity lies in the fact that they simply haven't the foggiest idea what lies around the corner for them from time to time. That's why many people today still consult psychics by making a personal visit to their office, by contacting them on the telephone, or even by getting in touch with them on the internet. But indeed, if psychics are for entertainment purposes only, as many of their advertisements claim, then, and they really don't know what they're talking about, then tragically the insecure are going to the ignorant for advice. They're going to the ignorant for help. They're going to the ignorant for a look at their uncertain future. What do they actually think they're going to accomplish by that? And if such psychics are using supernatural means to divine the future with the help of the devil, as surely they must be doing, since divination is an abomination in the sight of God, as we learn from the scriptures, then the insecure are made doubly insecure because they're going to the father of lies for answers to their questions. Such people aren't just insecure. They are headed down the broad and easy road that leadeth to destruction, Jesus says. And there are many of them. This destruction is headed their way both in this life and in the life to come. For us Christians, on the other hand, in our future, there is nothing about which we should be anxious or fretful or depressed or even insecure. For when we in childlike faith cling to the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, from those three things which are the three basic causes of all the trouble and insecurity and disaster here in this world, and when we put our private agendas to the test of God's holy word to make sure that we are truly walking in the paths of righteousness for our Savior's sake, then our security, both now and in the future, lies in our never-changing Lord and Savior. He's been the source of all of our blessings in the past. He's prospering our way still today here in this world with countless blessings, both temporal and spiritual. And His faithfulness toward us will remain constant and reliable for our future. For our future here in this world, and for our future hereafter in heaven. It's a changing world out there, we hear people saying all the time. The optimists claiming that it's changing for the better, with changes in technology, changes in medicine, changes in education, changes in the democratization of civilizations, and so on. The pessimists say it's changing for the worse. There's more violence, there's more crime, more homelessness, there's the breakdown of the family structure, there's the disintegration of the moral fabric of society. We can see those things round about us every day. There are wars and rumors of wars. There is distress among the nations with perplexity, puzzling things that make us wonder from one day to the next whether we will be in a state of peace or in a state of war. The world is, according to them, literally going to hell in a handbasket. And both of these views are right within their limited perspectives, seeing that people are looking at what they want to see. But there's also this truism, which almost always seems to hold, no matter what: the more things change, the more they stay the same. And this is particularly true for our spiritual state of affairs, for the spiritual state of affairs in which mankind finds itself. For the sinful heart of man by nature hasn't changed one bit for the better since the time of Adam and Eve. By nothing that man has been able to invent, accomplish, or achieve over the last 6,000 years, and certainly over the past 2 millennia since our Savior walked visibly here on earth, man has been able to change his relationship with God not one iota for the better. In spite of all of the advancements of science and technology, particularly in the fields of genetics and medicine, man has been unable to isolate and remove the soul-destroying seed of inherited sin, which we sometimes call corrupted spiritual DNA handed down from our parents. Modern science has been unable to eliminate death, and so to do away with the curse of the law, to do away with the wages of sin. You would think that would be a high priority, but they are unable to effect it. And all the enlightened and educated sociologists, with their accumulated worldly wisdom over lo these 60 centuries, are still stuck with the very same evils in society produced in the children of Adam. Hatred, violence, murder, adultery, prostitution, drug and alcohol abuse, rape, incest, child abuse, theft, anarchy, war, and destruction. They're all still here. In spite of every effort of man over 6,000 years to get rid of them, even to reduce the frequency. We too were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, the Bible tells us. And had it not been for Jesus, the eternal and changeless Christ, portrayed to us in our precious text for this evening, who redeemed us to God by his vicarious atonement for our sins. That is, by his perfect fulfillment of God's demand in his holy law that we be perfect, and by his innocent suffering and death in our stead, wherein he bore the wages of sin, we would still be lost and condemned. We would still be ruined in body and soul and doomed to everlasting punishment in hell. But God made him who knew no sin, his holy Son, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For Jesus' sake, because of what Jesus accomplished in satisfying divine justice, God made us heirs with Christ of everlasting life in heaven. And out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness on our part whatsoever, he has graciously provided and still provides for all that we need to support this body and life here in this world. And so we graciously, gratefully confess with Samuel of old, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." We who are God's children by faith in Christ Jesus have had and still have perfect security here in this world. We've had it in the past through him that loved us, through him who is Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One, the same yesterday, consistently all through the years. His track record toward us has always been faithful, flawless, and fail-safe, both for our spiritual and temporal welfare. But Jesus Christ is the same also still today, our text tells us. Earthly friends come and go. They stick around for a while, but when the going gets tough and things don't go the way they envision them to go for their own benefit, they get going the other way. You see, they have no vested interest in us, really. They're only along for the ride. And as soon as our usefulness to them is gone, so are they. Besides, they can't do anything to help us in our most serious problems anyway, because they can't even comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto them. They can't do anything to help us with our spiritual problems. And more often than not, worldly friends who know nothing and care nothing about the Lord Jesus and His precious word become spiritual problems for us in our lives because we find ourselves respecting their opinion for some reason, valuing their friendship for some reason, thinking that we need them in our lives for some reason. And all they do is lead us away from the truth, afield from the paths of righteousness, and amuck and leave us amuck in sin, degradation, and finally even in despair. And do they, as good friends should, do they responsibly take the rap for it afterwards? Do they even stick around to share the rap with you and with you and me, who are the victims of their chicanery? No. Do they share the consequences? You know the answer to that question. And the same goes for those who were once trusted Christian brethren. Walking with us in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. As soon as they sold off their spiritual birthright for the pottage of this world, they went out from us because they were no longer of us. They stopped speaking the same thing according to God's word. They were no longer perfectly joined together with us in the same mind and in the same judgment. They changed the relationship. The relationship of trust and spiritual intimacy that once existed between us. Just as surely as an unfaithful spouse destroys the relationship that constitutes holy marriage. Is it any wonder that the Lord our God warns us through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Jesus, on the other hand, is with us today as He has been with us all along, with His mercy, with His grace, with His forgiveness and comfort, with His loving kindness and tender mercies. When we fall into sin, He doesn't aid and abet us like the children of this world. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity. He rejoiceth in the truth. He brings us to sincere repentance for our sins and to confidence of our forgiveness for Jesus' sake. When He permits a heavy cross of sadness or pain or illness or some other trouble in our life to weigh us down. He does that in order to strengthen us, to strengthen our confidence in Him, to strengthen our resolve to go to Him for relief. And He always gives us the ability to bear such crosses after Him in Christian cheerfulness and hope. When He gives us lean times financially here in this world to show us the fleeting late nature of earthly treasures, as we heard in the scripture lesson before, and to move us to look to Him instead of to ourselves for daily bread, for all that we need to support this body and life, He always extends the handful of meal and the cruse of oil, as He did for the widow at Zarephath, so that we never lack what we need to support this body and life here in this world. There isn't one area in our whole existence, either temporal or spiritual, in which the Lord's gracious hand does not richly and daily provide us with blessings too numerous even to mention. Today, right now, as He has also so faithfully done in the past. How could we therefore possibly feel in the slightest degree insecure about our life and well-being when we have Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as our friend of friends, as our rock and fortress, as our shield, and our exceeding great reward, as the helper of the helpless, and the comforter or the consolation of the downhearted. Why, you and I are the most secure people on the face of the planet, because you and I, by God's grace, have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, for Jesus' sake. There's the difference. But now what about our future? A whole new year lies before us in this evening, and a whole new millennium if the Lord chooses to wait for His second visible advent another day, as the Lord reckons time, a day with the Lord being as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. You and I have absolutely no way of knowing what 2018 will bring us. You or I could become seriously sick. You or I could lose our job, perhaps our entire career. Friends and loved ones could desert us just simply out of the blue. We've seen that happen recently. We could even die this year. And those prospects, even if they are only remote possibilities, drive the children of this world literally up the wall with anxiety about their uncertain future. Do they have anything to worry about, really? Oh, yes, indeed they do. For without peace with God, through their Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have peace of mind either. They don't have peace of mind coming. They don't have any good news coming. In fact, their anxiety is a form of despair. Their anxiety is a form of helplessness and hopelessness here in this world. That is the well-deserved lot of all those who continue in sin and impenitence. Of all who are secure in themselves. To all those who pride themselves in their self-worth. To all who rely upon their self-righteousness in the sight of God. Of all who despise the word and will of God. Of all who reject the grace of God in Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins which He purchased and won for all mankind. And they wonder why they are so insecure. Now let's not forget, brethren, that we, by nature, deserve no better than they. We deserve no happy new year, according to our works, according to our merit, according to our worthiness. We simply don't have it coming, and we have no right to demand it of God. But thanks be to God for His mercy and grace to the undeserving, to us, who do not have it coming, who have done nothing in our lives to earn God's forgiveness, love, protection, kindness, benevolence, any of it. We've been brought to saving faith in Him who is the same consistent Savior yesterday and today and forever, whose kindnesses fail not, whose mercy endureth to all generations, and with Jesus as our Savior, being justified before God by faith in His blood and righteousness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're reconciled unto Him. We are His own dear children. We're heirs of everlasting life. God doesn't do His children wrong. That is what makes us secure. Not only in our past or with respect to our past concerning all of our sins and transgressions against God. Not only with respect to the present, but also for the future as well. For our immediate future in the new year now soon upon us, and for whatever future the Lord has in store for us here in this world before He comes again for judgment. And especially and above all for our everlasting future in heaven, where there is fullness of joy, where there are pleasures at God's right hand forevermore, where there is no sorrow, where there is no crying, where there is no anxiety, where there is no lack of happiness. We Christians, by faith in our changeless Savior, have absolutely nothing to fear from the new year ahead. For we are God's children by faith in our changeless Savior. My confidence in His changeless love as manifested to us and sealed to us in His changeless word. What shall we then say to these things? What should we answer to our own hearts when they seem to be fearful? What do we answer to people round about us when they say, what kind of new year are you expecting? Are you hoping for? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, through Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God grant us all such New Year's peace and true security by faith in our changeless Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.